This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special Capaccio for you, right?
Oh, yes. Now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, Carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a Carpaccio.
They try Capaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a Capaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. The Bills practice today. Media got their time with the players, and I know Sal spent some time with Trey White. Let's maybe start there. Sal Capaccio on the West Her hotline. Hi, Sal. What was your conversation with the Bills cornerback about? What do we know about his status here going into Sunday?
Well, as always, you know, players aren't going to tell you if they're going to play or not. I guess that could happen, but usually they keep it close to the vest, especially when they've been injured, they've been out for a while. But he said so far so good. He felt good today, always good to get back on the field. You know, I did ask him a little bit about you know, what it was like, because obviously we know how emotional he was when everything happened originally and he was here through the injury he went to. And I said, you know, we all saw what happened, and we all saw how, you know, the emotion in you when it went down, not knowing what was happening. And he said, yeah, he's counting his blessings. He didn't have to be carted off, and that, you know, it turned out to be, you know, not as serious as it could have been. So obviously he's really thankful for that. I think he's excited to get back on the field, get back to play a game if that's the case. And I asked him what he felt about Dorian Strong's play, and he really, really praised the rookie. Said it was in tight end coverage, didn't have any busted plays, really played well. Said, you know, but that's no surprise to him. But he said that's just kind of the way he's been since he got here. You could see he was really happy to see how well Dorian Strong played.
What is the injury, by the way, for fans who don't know?
Groin,
okay. So how did he look to you? What you got to see him do? I know you don't get to watch all of practice, but yeah. How did he look on the field when you were watching?
Pretty natural and normal to me. I actually tweeted out some video. People can go watch that, and I put it at WGR550.com. It's part of my story on today with the injury report. I have the videos embedded there from my tweets, and I think he looked pretty normal to me. Like, anything that he did looked like he was doing normal reps. Now, obviously, limited means when we're not out there, there are things that he's not doing that he normally would. But I didn't see him take any, like, warm-up reps off, you know, so anything like that. Mm-hmm. Didn't back off. And, in fact, I mean, there's one video I tweeted. Like, he attacked the bag. Like, they were doing, like, they call it a gator roll tackle. And he was attacking the bag and getting down to the ground and rolling. And that was good to see. A lot of times when guys are coming back, you might kind of lay off certain drills where it's going to require you to either hit the ground or do certain types of other movements. Wasn't the case. So, I mean, from my eyes, he would look like a normal player getting ready to play a football game, but we'll see where it goes throughout the week.
Right. He is still officially listed for today as limited, so we'll watch and see. Would you think if he can go full by maybe even as soon as tomorrow, Sal, that he would just go in the lineup ahead of Dorian Strong?
Ex- I do. I don't think there's – I think it'd be way premature to discuss him not playing over Dorian Strong, right? I mean, he's the starting cornerback for this team opposite Christian Benford. And the only way that's going to change right now is because of injury or if Tre'Davious White goes out there and seems lost, which I don't think is the case. As nice as Dorian Strong looked, it's one game and they really didn't attack him very much. And you know, you'd love to see that continue to happen because – and hey, give him credit. That's why they didn't attack him because maybe – because maybe he played so well, you know, but yeah, I would expect that to happen. Now, if he's full participant tomorrow, then yeah, for sure. If he's not tomorrow, I still think there's a strong chance that could happen because if he's practicing all week, I mean, that's even better than last week when he didn't practice and Sean McDermott still didn't rule him out.
Right. That's right. That's right. So Sal, like what is the bottom line for you on how the Bills are without Trey White or even with on the heels of Sunday? So Dorian Strong, Trey White, no Hairston for a while yet. The safeties. Just wonder if you think like the Jets or any other team that are preparing for the Bills would feel, okay, well, we can attack this. Is it like that? Or is it maybe not quite that? I mean, Baltimore is so good offensively in so many areas. I don't know. Like what sort of is the sum total of the secondary after the game Sunday night for you?
You mean attack through the pass with the pass, Mike?
Yeah, like does it change how you would approach? I mean, they got run on too. But does right. the secondary, for all the time we spend in the offseason trying to guess at what they're actually going to look like, does Sunday night change this for you at all?
No. I mean, I think all the issues for me in Sunday were against the run. I think the issues for the Bills, and they would tell you mostly were against the run. There were some open receivers. But it wasn't like Lamar Jackson, you know, threw for 350 yards. I mean, they did their damage on the ground. If the Jets come into this game with a game plan of let's attack the Bills through the air and that's our meal ticket, I think that's pretty foolish on their part. You know, because you have a quarterback who isn't Lamar Jackson and he's had some of his struggles throwing the ball and you have a good running game as of last week and the Bills were not good stopping the run. So I doubt the Jets are going into this game thinking, our way to win is through the air and passing against the Bills, unless it's to do some things to set up the run. I would think the Jets would want to run against the Bills and say, hey, this team couldn't stop a team with a really great running back and a running quarterback. Guess what we have? A really good running back in Breece Hall was excellent last week and a running quarterback, and we're going to test them on the ground.
I wonder, just to circle back to Strong and White here, if anticipating a certain kind of game plays into, obviously if White's healthy, then maybe there's less question. But, you know, not that your corner has to matter. It certainly doesn't matter the most in run support, but setting the edge and that kind of thing and being physical up near the line might be something they feel better about a guy like Strong doing than asking Tre'Davious White to do that.
I don't doubt that, but I think the complete sum of Tre'Davious White being comfortable with him, hitting, knowing they can really trust him to know what he's supposed to do, be where he's supposed to be. And, you know, he's not the greatest tackler. We know that. He's not going to be the most physical guy, but he's willing, and he's going to do his best at it. And I think that's going to outweigh the fact that maybe you have a better tackler on the outside. I mean, I think Dane Jackson's a good tackler. You know, I think Dane, but Dane Jackson's even on the practice squad, right? I don't think they're going to sacrifice what they have in the overall corner and the trustworthiness of him to put him on the field. To go back to your question, Mike, too, about through the air, the other part of that would be, I mean, I don't know what the Bills' plan will be. It's actually really fun. Matt and I talked about this. We didn't always game day today, and we talked about, like, what do the Bills do? Do they have Christian Benford follow Garrett Wilson? Because look at the Jets, like, splits and stats at receiver last week. Like, Garrett Wilson had 9 catches, and nobody else really caught the ball. And the next guy was 2. That was it the whole day. And it's like that's what they have, throwing the ball. And I know they have Mason Taylor is their tight end that's a bit banged up. He didn't practice today. So, you know, we'll see where that goes. But I wonder, too, even if you have that thought, the throw against them, I think the Bills know they got one guy here that they're really going to be counting on to carry that load.
You know, Sal, I think maybe the most encouraging and important thing for the Jets Sunday in their loss was, is it Membo, the lineman who just maybe shut down TJ Watt? Like, Pittsburgh's defense has such a great reputation, and the Jets did a lot on offense. I neither think the Jets are going to want to throw on the Bills. I just wonder, sort of in a neutral sense, whether
like what you would take from this game. And if Trey White isn't there and he comes back, then it would change probably anyway. But I would think that that would be like, is Justin Fields could be one of those situations where you get to the end of the season and there's some temptation to like pay him. But I don't know, like what's the ceiling? Like Daniel Jones was in New York with the Giants and he got paid. You know how that went. Or Tua maybe also. But I think, you know, offensive line has been such a bad thing for the Jets. They've just been injuries and just like they can't get off the ground with their offense some of these years. And maybe this year's different.
Yeah, these two dudes they've got to tackle seem pretty solid, Sal. Better than solid.
Even. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I mean, it looks like they've revamped their offensive line. They've done a nice job. I think, you know, Aaron Glenn comes in with a pretty, you know, physical type of mentality and culture that they want to be able to play like that, play physical. And obviously Steelers have some really, really good dudes up front. I mean, following some Steelers people, I think that one of the takeaways from them was they did look a little older, and we said, hey, they are an older defense, right? I mean, they did trade Minka, but, you know, Cam Hayward and T.J. Watt and some of the injuries they've dealt with and Cam's, you know, issues this offseason with his contract, they did look a little bit older. But give the Jets credit. I agree. I think the Jets look good running the ball with those guys, and I think that, you know, even protecting Justin Fields, part of that is his mobility. You know, he can escape. He can escape some pressure. Breece Hall looks really good. I don't think, Mike, in a general sense of the secondary of how they looked, it changes anything. I mean, I just think the Ravens are such a different animal when you play them that I don't know what I can ever take away from playing against them versus any other week, because I think teams just have to have like a different strategy, different mentality and philosophy when you play them versus a lot of other teams, and it can change every time you play them.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline with us as the Bills begin their preparation for this week's game on Sunday in New Jersey against the Jets. Sal, we heard Sean McDermott earlier today talking about how the preparation for this has to be tough. They've got to like work hard here because there was a lot that didn't go the way they would have liked it to go on Sunday, despite getting the result that they wanted. Somewhat so that like padded practice here on a Wednesday. I know I saw Ed Oliver say, you know, we just played 60 minutes on Sunday, and you know it's tough to have to put the pads on. How do you think that went over with the team?
I'm sure guys don't love it, but you know they understand why, I'm sure, and that they have to get everything corrected. You know, Sean McDermott's quote was, "This week has to be hard." And I think sure enough, part of that is hard practices, right? But the other thing he said when asked what does that mean, he said hard conversations. Like, be truthful with yourself. And let's take a look at what we did and didn't do because it wasn't good enough. It wasn't up to our standard. You know, I'm not going to say, like, the Bills are treating this game as if they lost last week because they didn't. They won, and they celebrate their wins, and they'll be the first to tell you this. But they're not happy. They're angry with how they played. I think they feel that, like, the way they played defensively and what they put on film stopping the run was something that they're not happy about, and they want to atone for that. So, you know, guys could be upset. That's fine. It doesn't, you know, they got to go out and do their jobs. And it was, to me, it's kind of like near the end of camp, they did this too, near the end of camp, because the starters didn't play a ton. They had a couple more padded practices. They went a little bit more one-on-one. And if you remember, the practice that Tredavious.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tre'Davious White got hurt in, actually, at the stadium that day. I remember specifically there was like three skirmishes in that practice because I think guys were not happy that they had to do that, and they were edgy. And, you know, they that's not what they're used to. So I think Sean McDermott, that's part of it. Keep them on edge and don't get comfortable, because we shouldn't be comfortable after what we played, the way we played last week. And I think that's his message.
With Sal Capaccio, so Sean talked about the 0 for 3 on the two-point tries on Sunday night. One was from the one, the pass to Coleman, where he'd been out of the end zone and then came back in and was ruled ineligible. Then you've got an interception on the second one and a contested catch for Coleman on the third one that doesn't connect. Any thoughts on either those decisions? I've got no problem with if the Bills want to go for two on every touchdown the rest of the year, save one where they're down, where they're tied at the end of the game and it's an extra point for the win, I'm fine. But just like, where's an Allen run? It's always easier in hindsight. What are your thoughts on how that played out?
We talked Monday, and just to reiterate for people, you know, Sean McDermott explained the reason he went for two on the final two conversions was because, you know, he wanted to he went for the one early on because right. He wanted to make sure if they didn't make it that they knew what they had to do the rest of the game. And then obviously there was a situation where they wanted to make sure that they got the two a little bit later. But either way, without rehashing that, the decisions itself, that's it. I didn't love the play calls. I didn't love from the 1 yard line going, I think they went empty. I don't remember they motioned it back into the backfield or not. But that's kind of tipping your hand right there. And that could be an Allen run, and that's fine, but it wasn't. And then you have the fade to Keon Coleman. I didn't love that decision. Mm-hmm. But the other part of it is, even on the runs, Mike, there were other runs where Sean was asked specifically today that it, even going back to the championship game against Kansas City, and then you combine that with this game and how the QB sneak didn't work a couple times, right, in that game and in this game. And Sean was very recognizable of that. And he said, yes, that's something he said. He's basically like, we're not going to get into strategy, like what they're going to do to, you know, make sure or fix it. But he said it's definitely something that we need to look at, and we are looking at. And then he mentioned, while that answer was going on, unprompted, about the two-point conversions, which is what you're talking about. So I thought all that was interesting that he mentioned, and he was very, like, agreeing. And, yes, that's something that they are looking at, the quarterback sneaks and why they have not worked as much. And then coupled with that is the two-point conversions not working, and he mentioned short yardage as a whole.
Yeah. The one that you didn't mention, the one two-point conversion play that you didn't describe here, was they used an orbit motion with Elijah Moore, and it was supposed to be Ty Johnson leaking out of the backfield, okay. And Marlon Humphrey just blew it up. He just squatted on Johnson. He was supposed to get sucked into something else, and he wasn't. He just, I don't know if he just guessed right or read it, whatever, and then Allen just started scrambling, and that was that. Do you have a guess on what's happening with the sneaks?
I think teams are becoming better equipped to stop it. I don't know exactly what they're doing, but they're loading up a certain way to make sure that can't happen. And so I don't think it's coming from the Bills' end of execution. I think it's coming from, hey, other teams have kind of seen what we do. And it's not just going left or over a certain guy. Like, literally, I think it's, okay, this is how they block it, how their legs are positioned. How can we get in a position to make sure that they don't get leverage on us? I think all of those things get baked into when you look at those things.
Yeah, definitely one. Maybe, I don't know if your recollection is the same, but I'm pretty sure, almost sure, that one of the sneaks at least was not to the left like it always has been. It was more in the middle, and it didn't work either. And eventually Allen just, you know, leaped over the line to get the ball over on that last touchdown, as it turned out. So that I think, really, going back to the championship game, is something to really keep an eye on, because that has been relatively automatic for them, and therefore I think McDermott's willingness to go in a lot of situations has been that automatic, and I wonder if he'll get, you know, a little scared off it.
It's a good question. It's a good question. Yeah, would they say, all right, well, if that's not going to be as effective, maybe we shouldn't do anything? Or is it that they try something else? And I do think it's something to watch going forward here.
Sal, so it's Bills and Jets Sunday, and it's Patriots-Dolphins in Miami. The whole AFC East is, you know, it's a intra-squad kind of day on Sunday. What are your thoughts on those two teams after week one? New England, so much positive, so much optimism about the Patriots, but, I mean, not a great showing against the Raiders, although maybe you think the Raiders are really good, sort of, and then the Patriots were just the second-best team, but not bad. And the Dolphins, of course, a nightmare sort of opener. Everybody's ready to sort of bury them already, I think. Miami's a small favorite in the game. Before we let you go, are you sort of in tune with the takeaways on the Dolphins and Patriots after week one, or maybe not?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think the Dolphins would be very good. I didn't think they would look like that. I mean, that was ridiculously bad. I mean, it was terrible, how their performance. And it's week one. I mean, they could change it around, but man, like, they did everything kind of contrary to what I think they wanted to do, and it went terribly for them. I think really my biggest takeaway on them is their coach might be in a lot of trouble, and their own fans and fan bases and media are starting to really wonder if he's the right guy for them. Like, he's a really smart offensive guy, but I think now there's enough history here, and especially after this game, of is he really a good enough head coach? His message, his, you know, way of just running an organization, mm-hmm. and what they're about, basically, the culture, whatever you want to call it. I mean, you look at Tyreek Hill and the what's going on the sidelines, and this is obviously not the first time. And I have a friend that's a really big Dolphins fan, and, I mean, he was really upset, and he said to me the other day, he said, Sal, I've always stood by Mike McDaniel, but I think they have to make a change. His message just isn't getting through, and he's not the right guy for this. And I think that's interesting from that level. I don't think their secondary is bad. And yeah. I don't know what the answer is. They might have to have a really hard reset, and they haven't done that yet. And that's part of the problem. Now they're, by the way, guys, now they're going to be without this week their right guard and their right tackle.
Right.
Apparently, they're starting brand new right guard and right tackle. So that's on them. On the Patriots, I've been saying this year, hey, I think the Patriots will be definitely better. I just don't think they'll be good enough to really challenge the Bills, and probably around maybe 500. Maybe they break 500, and that's a nice season, and maybe they'll be in the mix at the end for a wild card. After what I saw on Sunday, I'm not sure about that anymore. They have a ways to go, talent-wise especially, and I figured they were pretty devoid of, you know, some talent on the offensive end. But what I didn't take into account was Drake May just wasn't that good, to be quite honest. Now, again, it's week one. It's Pete Carroll, and he probably had some nice tricks up his sleeve for Drake May. But, man, Drake May did not have a really good game, and you know, you come away from that game going, boy, he needs to play better than that to give us a chance.
Right. He got the numbers, but Kayshon Booty, the waivers pickup this week in fantasy from the Patriots, he had a 100-yard game. He's had a pretty good run going back to last year for them. Sal, thank you. Enjoy your night, and we'll talk tomorrow.
All right, guys, you got it. Thanks.
That's our dude Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
The stats, the numbers are there, the totals are there for the Patriots, and it's not only because they were playing from behind. I mean, in the first half, May was on a 300-yard pace against a 287. DeMario Douglas, Bulldog, you call him Pop.
Pop, yeah, always Pop.
2-4, negative 2, and a touchdown. That's a fun line.
That is hard to do. Not really.
Only Pop. Only Pop. Dig 6 for 57. Okay. Back to the Bills, 803-0550 for your calls. We've been still basking in Sunday night. Yesterday we had Josh Allen calling out the fans for leaving, and today more sort of taking stock of what Sunday's game tells us about them, if anything, you know, different than what we thought. We'd love to hear your opinions. Lines are open. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Trista Crick at 6. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now, caller 5 at 716-221-4WGR, 4947, wins two tickets to see Adam Sandler at KeyBank Center Sunday, September 21st, so a week from Sunday, courtesy of Live Nation. There's no Buffalo football game that day, by the way. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. You know, maybe there was a thing there where I couldn't say, because you wouldn't know who I'm talking about. Hopefully you do, the name of the team in a promotional read. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know I didn't say Super Bowl, at least.
Okay. Good job.
So good.
What day is that show, by the way?
21st.
21st. Okay. Yeah, right. They play Thursday night that week.
A week from tomorrow, Miami.
I'm going to my first game as a fan in 25 years.
Really?
Yeah. It's been that long. The
02?
New
England?
Yeah.
That year?
Yeah, so it's not Jets. 25. Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. I forgot about all those. I, for some reason, I had the Tennessee opener in 2000 as the game. But no, we talked about this the other week. Yeah, I left fourth and stupid. I left early. That's after that. So
such a fun year.
But it's been a long time. So I'm really looking forward to it. Owen and I have never been to a game together. He's been with some friends. He went when he's a really little kid with his mom on a game we would have been working at. But should be a fun time.
My son and I have been to one game together. He's been to two others, including the Ravens playoff game. He went to that game.
Nice.
He and I have been to one game together, a preseason game against Indianapolis.
Oh, I should take that back. Owen and I went to E.J. Manuel's preseason debut against Pittsburgh back in 13.
Yeah, you know, you have to make a special category for the preseason.
Yeah, regular season game is what I'm talking about, yeah.
This was the game where he and I were on the field. My son and I were on the field.
Right, I remember this.
And he got a ball.
Right.
There was a punt.
Gee, Reggie, Daddy, does this happen all the time?
I know, right? I can't believe Dan Marino hasn't been to a second Super Bowl yet. Reggie Bush was fielding punts in the warm-up, and this particular punt went out of bounds right over our heads, and the ball for like a couple of seconds sat on the ground behind us, and I was with my son, who would have been 6 or 7 years old maybe at the time, and a photographer friend, and he's like, pick it up and give it to the kid, which I had no instinct to do because it's not my ball.
Yep.
I'll take that $225 out of the vending machine today for canceled transaction, but that's not my ball. So he's like, pick it up and give it to the kid.
And then out of nowhere, here comes Philly's Karen. She's got to get in there. That was my ball.
That was incredible.
Sorry, I didn't mean to submarine.
My
your
wife
story
even
here.
Knew about that.
Right.
Like I was thinking I could bring this up to her just to start a conversation. She even knew about the Philly's lady.
Yeah.
And the kid got like a bat, and he got to the clubhouse.
He made out great. Yeah.
I mean, everybody's got a camera now, so.
Yeah.
But I picked up the ball and gave it to my son. I've got a great picture of him just like awestruck that he's got this football in his hands. And then we went up. We were there for work, and there were other people from the station who were in the suite together. And, you know, there were two or three other kids about his age or a little older. And the whole night was keeping the ball away from them.
Right.
Like, all right. We got this thing. I'm not. You're not touching it because you're running out that door. I know it.
Hanging on to that ball.
You know what? I have two. Both one is through something else, like a school function where he won it, or my wife or he won it, and another one was through here at like a raffle. We've got two signed
NFL game type balls.
Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Both signed by Stephon Diggs.
Oh, wow.
What do I do with them? I'm going to call the hobby.
Hope you don't get hung up on.
That's fair. What do I do with these? I mean, you couldn't ever in a million years guess whose signature it is by looking at it.
That's tough.
Of course, right? They can't read it. But they're both signed by, you know, there's a certificate that says so. So I feel like I can say it as a fact. They're both signed by Diggs. And they're not, there might be a Bills logo on them, actually. I think there is. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What do I do with these things? They're both in like that case that a football comes in, like that cardboard sort of box.
Oh, okay. Well, get a glass display case for it.
Do I want that? Do I want a glass display case for a Stephon Diggs ball? Two even? I don't know if I do.
I'll buy one off you. I don't have any football.
Oh, here we go.
I should say I don't have it.
You want a ball?
You know, I'll bring you a ball. I have a commemorative, and it's in one of those glass cases. I have a commemorative, I think, I haven't looked at it in a while. It's one of those things that's, it's in an office that I don't really use anymore, on a shelf with like books I don't read anymore. it's an area of the house that I don't really frequent. But I'm pretty sure I can still see it. It's a Jim Kelly, like Hall of Fame commemorative ball.
Okay.
Signed? So, yeah, but it's one of those stamped. It's not, he didn't sign it. You know what I mean? Okay. I think there's a stamped, like embossed signature on it kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Great signature.
And one, yeah.
There's a guy who knew how to sign his name.
Signature. And like one side, half of it's white and has like his career achievements on it. And the other side is like a regular, you know, the regular football
card. Yes. I have a Kelly ball.
I'd like to have a football. That's the only football I have in my house. I don't have any. The actual football, like the game ball. That's a. I'm envious of these footballs you have.
Oh, I'll give you one.
I like the.
Next time you bring a sub in, like, I'll give you the ball for the sub.
I don't know if I'm gonna. Well, wait till next Tuesday.
Who wins the trade?
I don't know.
Who says no?
Like
a Stephon Diggs autographed ball. For, like, the best sub.
I'm way beyond sitting on the floor of my living room and throwing passes to myself and stretching out to catch them like I did when I was a little kid. And that was with a little ball anyway, not a big full-size football. You could really break something with one of those.
I kind of want to see if my dog would play with the football, but the ball is bigger than she is.
Yeah, that's probably right. Yeah.
Might be tough.
Yeah. Signature, Kelly.
Give me the ball.
Kelly, no, don't do that. Kelly, yes. Kelly's signature.
I don't want this ball. What do I? I mean, I have no use for it. I'm not going to sell it. This is one of those dilemmas that you have if you collect, or you just sort of fell into some item or collection. Like, all right, well, it has some value, but how do I accrue it? Like, what do I do to get anything from this? Your best course of action is to know somebody who wants it. Because you can't like go through the whole thing where you put it online or what do you do with
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not doing that. It's not worth it. It's just too much work for a Diggs ball. Who wants a Diggs ball with a Bills logo on it? Which it probably has on the like the small one that would be on the official ball. Like when they when they play at home, there's that usually, right? There's a small Bills logo on the one side by the laces.
I think that's right. Yeah.
I think it has. I think these balls have that. I don't want it. Diggs?
He was good.
Well, he was good. What, you know, is he interesting to think about maybe? Like, he might be near the end of his career. He probably is.
Yeah.
He had an okay week one, and I still think there's some, it's only one game. Like, there's some path where the Patriots are not bad, and he matters. Maybe he catches 60, 70 passes. He's there, or he has a season.
He's there on a one-year deal, right? Was that just a one-year thing? I'm trying to.
Yes.
Because I'm trying to think, like, if I don't know how he'll be this year. We'll see. He did come back like not unprecedentedly fast. I mean, guys have come back quickly from knee injuries. Not everyone's timeline is the same. But if he does, you know, regardless of how he played in week one, if it's a slow go this year, there still will be the, well, you know, it was the first year after the ACL and like give him time. Like in the right spot on a good team, I still this is what I wanted for him here. Like if it hadn't gone sideways with him here, what I would have wanted, the reason I wanted them to invest in a potential number one receiver while he was even on the team, was to ease his transition into being a complementary piece. And like, I think he could be a perfect slot receiver. Like, if he wants to do it and stay in shape, I think he could be a good slot receiver for another 3 or 4 years. At his age, his skill set is so good. Like the route running, you know, he's going to lose some high end speed, and he was never the fastest guy to begin with. But I think his craft could really work well in a role like that. And that's what I envisioned. Like, again, if he were still here and everything had gone well, I think they would have needed to bump him inside. And I think he could flourish in a role like that.
I think maybe on certain teams, maybe New England is one of them, where I think you'd be right. I don't think I'd want him over Shakir right now on this team, though.
I'm not necessarily saying that now.
A lot of teams' best receivers are in the slot these days.
Yeah, like Amon-Ra St. Brown. Yeah.
Smith and Jigba in Seattle, like that's just kind of perfect. They don't have anybody else that has proven. I mean, Kupp might be shot. Lamb, you know, like guys, it's different now, isn't it, than 10 years ago
where
the slot was a stigma?
Right.
Who was it? Was it Lamb even that came out of college and like, oh, he's just a slot, and like look at him.
I mean, right.
I don't know. Like, I think it's more just not a problem than it used to be.
Yep.
But I think he might be on the right team. I don't remember what his contract was, but I remember thinking he did amazingly well for
where he was at in his career. Yeah.
So
yeah, I definitely feel that.
New England at Miami on Sunday, same time as our game. So. I mean, you'll never see it. This game will not be available to you, the football fan. Trista, coming up at 6. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.